This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, June 30th, 2017. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, a new fire and safety accord has been negotiated for Bangladeshi garment workers, how countries allow corporations to evade taxes, and the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. More than 2.5 million garment workers in Bangladesh will be covered by a new fire and safety accord negotiated by global unions. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
More than 1,000 factories in Bangladesh will be covered by a new fire and safety accord signed by leading fashion brands and global unions. The new accord is aimed at improving and extending the existing accord, which is due to expire in 2018. The labor organizations, which have led the initiative from the start, are UNI, the Global Union for Skills and Services, and Industrial, which has a number of garment union affiliates in Bangladesh. The global unions worked in cooperation with NGOs such as the Clean Clothes Campaign and the Worker Rights Consortium. The first fire and safety accord was negotiated after the Rana Plaza disaster in 2013, where more than 1,200, mostly young women garment workers, were killed. Some 2,500 more were injured. The disaster was caused by the illegal installation of huge machines in the multi-floor structure. After the accident, UNI and Industrial shamed major brands into signing a legally binding agreement, which promised to improve conditions in the factories. Under the 2013 accord, more than 1,800 factories were inspected and some 100,000 hazards were fixed. The new three-year accord will cover more than 2.5 million workers. It is being signed by major brands such as H&M, Kmart Australia, Primark, and Esprit. Walmart has refused to join the accord and has created its own substandard version. Walter Sanchez, the General Secretary of Industrial, said, "The accord is the only credible option for health and safety in Bangladesh garment factories. It shows that industrial relations can be used to save lives and improve conditions in global supply chains." Christy Hoffman, Deputy Secretary General of UNI, said, "Our aim is to create a global economy which respects the lives and dignity of all workers, and the accord is a big step along that path." This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
As governments around the world cry poverty when asked to support basic public services such as healthcare, corporations are stealing taxable money by using tax havens. Tax havens are countries which charge corporations very little taxes, sometimes no taxes at all. It has been estimated that these tax havens hold more than $20 trillion. That's $20,000 billion. It is the annual amount produced by all of the people and all of the companies operating in the world's largest economy, the United States. To help people better understand the implications of tax havens, a coalition of labor unions and other civil society groups has created the Global Alliance for Tax Justice. The alliance represents hundreds of organizations around the world. It is backed by labor organizations such as Public Services International, the global labor body which represents national public service unions. The Global Alliance for Tax Justice has just recently released a video explaining what tax havens are and how they, in effect, defund decent public services.
There are a range of jurisdictions all across the world which offer tiny, tiny rates of tax on profits. Some of them are island states, like Bermuda, where you pay a 0% corporate tax rate. But there are also other countries like Luxembourg, a microstate in the center of Europe, where you can literally tell the world's last Grand Duke how much you want to pay in tax. So that's the bread and butter, a low-tax jurisdiction. Now for the meat of it. If you're looking to dodge taxes, you're going to need to create a subsidiary company in an offshore jurisdiction. Basically, what you're going to do is create a non-existent holding company which you can route all of your profits through. But don't worry about staff or offices. For this holding company, all you need is a slick-sounding business name and a letterbox. Now you can make this company on the internet in just a few hours and register it to a country like Liberia or the British Virgin Islands, where there are over 1 million registered companies for only 30,000 inhabitants. Fishy. Once you've got your subsidiary company beefed up, it's time to spice things up a little bit. You give your subsidiary company the rights to all of your intangible assets, like brand or logo or intellectual property. Then your subsidiary company bills all your other companies for the rights to use those assets. By doing this, you transfer all of your global profits into the tax haven, or we can make things even spicier. You can pay a random person a nominal fee to become your nominee director. Now, their job will be to blindly sign any paperwork that you put in front of them and pretend to be your company's director. And what this means is that nobody can actually tell in whose interests your subsidiary company is working. As an example, the Panama Papers revealed that one lady named Ida Mae Biggs was the nominee director of over 20,000 companies. Pretty good going for a 93-year-old. Which brings us to our last but most important ingredient, secrecy. Secrecy is perhaps the most important ingredient because without it, the public would be able to look right through the entire charade and see the system for what it really is. Now, what we do know is that there's over $20 trillion hidden away in tax havens all across the world. That's no small figure. That's enough to end global poverty 10 times over. Part of that money should be going to constructing schools, hospitals, and providing public services. And then we hear from politicians in the private sector that there simply isn't enough money to fund public services, and we simply have to privatize. So what can we do about it? Well, a range of initiatives are in place to combat the abusive use of tax havens, like country-by-country reporting, so companies are forced to show exactly where and how they make their profits, or the establishment of a UN global tax body to monitor profit flows.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the 700 news stories added to our site last week. Our top stories section included links to items about the Chinese labor rights activists arrested and then released after documenting abuses in a factory producing clothing for Ivanka Trump's brand, the arrest and torture of a Moroccan protest organizer, and the start of a campaign by Australian unions to mobilize workers against neoliberal government policies. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Indian waste collection workers were protesting 3 months of wage theft by the city of East Delhi, while nearby motorcycle factory workers held a sit-down strike to protest layoffs, and tea plantations were closed by a huge strike by agricultural workers. Workers employed by a Chinese corporation to build a new port in Ghana continued their walkout after it was found to be legal. And 15,000 South Korean school cafeteria workers walked out in a dispute over wages and their demand for an end to precarious work. Large numbers of students and their parents joined their protests and picket lines. Our top working women stories included coverage of the mass faintings at Cambodian sportswear factories as the temperatures rose last week, a campaign to end gender pay inequality amongst Indian nurses, and an exodus of women from the nursing profession in Hungary as retail jobs began to pay more than hospitals. The Health and Safety News Wire, rerun in cooperation with Hazards magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about what the death of a sanitation worker in Pakistan has revealed about the way in which such workers are treated by their employers. Union reaction to the high accident rate amongst Kuwaiti oil workers, and violence in Canadian schools. Currently, Labor Start is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, mobile phones, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.